Hello and welcome. I'm so thrilled that I'm able to welcome today Dr. Sue Morton to the Conscious Evolution Summit. And Dr. Sue is an international speaker and doctor with 30 years of experience. Dr. Sue's visionary models and techniques have ignited an entirely new approach to accessing creative genius and living from personal freedom. In bringing together the ancient wisdom traditions with cutting-edge quantum science, Dr. Sue uses the Energy Codes. It's a book which is just published now in 2019. And Dr. Sue guides her students to unprecedented levels of creativity, health, and healing by building neurocircuitry, and we will talk about that, to raise the cellular vibrational frequency. And Dr. Sue, maybe just in the beginning, you can share a bit, how did it happen that you engaged in energy work as a doctor in hospital?
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And I always love to delve into these conversations and weave them together in a variety of different ways. I would have to say that I came to energy medicine quite honestly. I was raised in a family environment where my father was a pioneer in energy medicine. He was one of the cutting edge researchers in the idea that the electromagnetic energy field was the healing essence of the body, and our mind and emotions had a tremendous impact on how that energy field could flow through the body. And so the relationship between mind and body and this invisible electromagnetic energy, which the spiritual world would call spirit and the scientific world would call energy, was basically necessary. This interweaving of all of our faculties had to happen in order for healing to take place, to resolve subconscious interferences from unresolved emotion. And by doing so, people began to heal. So I grew up watching people heal by means of other than surgeries and medications and radiations, etc. So I have never gone to the doctor myself and taken an antibiotic in order to heal something. I've never been on a prescription drug of any kind. So it is it's interwoven into my cellular structure. It isn't really just a revelation that I had later in my career. So I've been working with patients and clients for more than 30 years in this realm of self-healing and ultimately awakening to our great power as healers. And that's what I travel the world and teach people how to do.
Wonderful. And I just also remember from another interview I was listening with you, Dr. Sue, that you yourself had already a few years ago really a deep awakening experience, and where you thought it should be possible to kind of really come back to this state of consciousness, and you tried several things. Maybe you can share a bit about this journey.
Certainly. So this is really a bridging of science and spirituality, in that I was raised in the scientific community of recognizing that energy was the healer, and that the electromagnetic energy that builds the nervous system is actually what is the master system. And so I've been working with people regarding this master system, as we mentioned, for decades. And all the while, I also always felt that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing in addition to that. And I didn't know what it was. And I was led into meditation actually because of being a highly performing kind of perfectionistic, stressful kind of personality. I started seeking how to learn to meditate. And in my practices of learning to meditate, I instantly started having transcendental multidimensional experiences in my consciousness. And so I awakened. Actually, I just noticed here, I have a poster that I use for another course that I'm teaching right here. So I'm just going to hold it up and show you that basically I woke up here, illuminated in my own consciousness, versus operating as this human system here in the nervous system, based on basing a life on our five senses. I recognized a version of all of us that exists as this multidimensional being and state of consciousness. And so I spent the next 10 years of my life trying to recreate that experience and finally figured out how to do it. And most of it was having to learn how to not try, but to allow the mind to expand into higher states than what our typical belief system has us walking around thinking reality is. So it was a transformational experience by far, one that is typically reserved for the very practiced and refined yogic meditator. And I sat down and almost instantly had this experience. So I didn't have the tools or the skill set to manage it or to understand it. So I turned the next 10 years of my life into really a living laboratory to figure out how to recreate it. And the significance to our conversation here is that as I figured out how to recreate that state of consciousness for myself, accessing it on a regular basis, I started healing migraine headaches in my own system that I had been plagued with for years. And they finally just disappeared as soon as I remastered how to regain access to this higher state of consciousness. And a scoliosis that I had had in my spine also began to unwind and heal, and is completely healed today because of running different qualities of energy through my system, which is what happens when we wake up to a version of ourselves that exists beyond our belief system, beyond our sensory input, who we think we are as we are attached to the mind, and recognizing that we are so much more than the mind on an experiential level, not just a theoretical level. So putting all that together is what I've done in my new book called The Energy Codes that released just this past March. And I'm teaching people how to access that same information in a step-by-step manner so that we can all have this ability to unattach from the mind and sit down as the true essential self that has a mind and has a body and can operate in this life in a much more masterful way.
Mm-hmm. And I just have a question while I'm listening to you, because in my experience, it's often also about kind of really letting go of not just the mind, but it seems to be all bodily attached sensations as well, to be able to shift to this other dimension. Is this also your experience, or how would you describe it?
Yes, when we still the mind enough, we are no longer run by a certain bandwidth of energy frequencies, and we're able to access a higher and a deeper bandwidth of energy frequencies, which is basically more expansive. So we're living in this bandwidth of energies like this, and ultimately we have to access a bigger bandwidth if we really want to understand who we are. And so yes, it is a matter of releasing attachment to the body and attachment to the mind, but this, that's a conversation about enlightenment. And enlightenment is essential for us to recognize who we are truly. But the thing that allows us to heal is actually embodiment. So it isn't about letting go of the body. It's about coming into the body much more than we ever have before. We've been living with one foot in and one foot out, and that's why we struggle. That's why we're in pain. That's why we only perceive a portion of what is actually true about us and about the world and about possibilities and about our ability to heal or to create the life that we're destined to be living. And so we have to use the mind differently and use the body differently than we're used to using them if we truly want to glean from them the benefits that their energy frequencies bring. Because everything is energy. The body is energy too. So there's nothing bad about the body when it comes to meditation or enlightenment. In fact, if people were trained to live in their bodies instead of living in their heads and in their minds all the time, they would be much healthier, much stronger, have a much more robust energy flow happening, and their life would unfold in a fashion that is their true path automatically. They wouldn't have to search so much, because the body operates as a filtering system for the infinite energy that we are. And if we don't come into the body with our full consciousness, then the body can't act as the filtering system. We're not using it for what it was built to be used for. For instance, the chakra system is a filtering system. It's an energetic system of organizing different vibrational frequencies that runs our whole state of consciousness. So the root chakra houses certain vibrational frequencies that are a part of our way of thinking. Our ability to think in a certain way is enhanced by the root chakra, and our ability to think in another way is enhanced by the second chakra. And our ability to think and operate in an additional way is housed in our solar plexus, in our third chakra, in our fourth and fifth and sixth, all the way up to a 12 chakra system that I work with. Ultimately, allowing someone to realize that everything is energy, we are energy beings, and until we start identifying as that energy being, we're going to be living a limited life. So when people think they are their personality and they think they're caught up in the story of their lives, it scrunches that down basically to a very elementary version of who we really, really are and how we really could be experiencing life.
Beautiful. I so much resonate with what you are sharing. And I just wonder what would support us in really having this bigger bandwidth as you described just a few minutes ago.
You mean how can we begin to access that? Or
yes,
certainly. Well, as I mentioned, coming into the body is key. Now, people live in their heads. We think all the time. We think that our thinking is what drives our lives, and really the mind is supposed to be used to serve the soul. The mind is supposed to be serving this deep intuitive presence that is the awareness that we actually are. Albert Einstein said that we were given this beautiful mind to serve this great gift of the intuitive. We were given this great gift of this intuitive being and a mind that is supposed to be its loyal servant. And what we've done is created a culture that honors the servant instead of the great gift. And so instead of being intuitive beings, we've become thinking beings. And then we think that if we just think better, we'll be better off. Well, that's true, but it's only this much better versus, you know, this much better, an entirely different reality if we would allow ourselves to become who we really are, which is this incredible intuitive being that is multidimensional, that has access to infinite information, that has always been here and will always be here, is an eternal being and has collected wisdom in this grand state of consciousness for the millennia. But people don't have access to that when they're running around as a five sensory being trying to think their way through life. And that's why everybody's suffering and seeking out solutions of how do we get better? How do we do this? How do we manifest? How do we get happy? How do we love? How do we heal? All of that would be happening if we were to come fully here. We're energy beings, we're spirit beings, and we set out on a journey to take a body, become a human being, and bring our consciousness here to the third dimension on the frontier of evolution. So this is what we're doing here. Mm. But what happens is we get partway here and we abandon the journey and start seeking back towards spirituality. We are spirit, but we're seeking spirit. And that's why we never find it, because we are what we're seeking. So my advice to everyone, I travel around the world and teach coursework and seminars and have a whole body of a whole school that teaches people how to do this. So it isn't something that I can teach you in a few moments, but I can certainly give you some pointers of how to start the journey. The point is we have to come into the body, stop living in our minds, living in our heads, and start to breathe in our bellies and start to open up in our hearts and drop down into the core of our being. So for right now, for instance, if everyone that's watching would recognize that their energy is actually dispersed into the room that they're sitting in, onto the computer screen that they're looking at, and their energy is dispersed. And the invitation is to call your energy back, just quicken it back onto yourself. Just call your energy back onto you. And you might notice a shift in how you feel in your body. And then just disperse your energy again. Throw it onto a thought, something that pushes your buttons, someone that upsets you. Throw it onto an object in the room. And notice how your energy feels different in your body when you do that. And then call it back. Just gather it back onto yourself again. Bring it onto subject instead of object. Bring it back onto you, and you'll start to sense and feel a different sensation. It's like when you all of a sudden realize, oh, I was all caught up in something. Now just let me be more aware. Let me be clear. It's like if you've ever gone to the movie, gone into the theater and you're watching a movie, and if you've ever been so caught up in the movie, dispersed onto the movie screen, that you start talking back to the screen, or you're trying to tell them what to say or what to do, like, don't say that, don't do it. We're totally caught up in that movie as if it's real for us. And then all of a sudden we realize, oh, I'm just sitting in a movie theater and I'm watching a movie that isn't really real. That up level of your awareness in that moment is exactly what I'm speaking about. We have the ability to have that kind of awareness throughout our entire lives because, you know, the ancient Eastern traditions would tell us that Brahma, for instance, one of the main gods of Hinduism, was the creator god. And he created a universe and then stepped into it. And this is exactly what we've done as human beings. We've created a movie and we've stepped up on the movie screen and we think it's real. So we're running around trying to get all these people to do different things and to say different things and to behave in different ways so that we can be happy. But what we don't realize is that we wrote the movie and then we jumped onto the movie screen. So everyone is doing everything that we asked them to do to help us wake up in this life. But we've lost track of the purpose of the movie. We've lost track of the point of what it is that's actually happening here. So when we start to call our energy back onto ourselves, we have a better chance of waking up to the fact that I'm just observing an experience here. It's not real. It's actually just playing out for my consciousness, for me to wake myself up to the true version of myself, to the truth of who I am. So there are many practices that we could do that begin to enhance our ability to do that. Once we gather our energy back onto ourselves, we're off to a good start. The next thing that I would recommend that people do is to contract some muscles at the base of the pelvic bowl, like in their pelvis, deep at the tip of the spine, deep beneath the pubic bone and right where the sits bones are that you sit on when you're sitting on a hard chair, you can feel them, or you're sitting on a yoga mat, you can feel them. If you squeeze the muscles right in the base of the pelvic bowl, like if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream very instantly, you would have to contract certain muscles to do that. Now, this is an ancient practice for gathering the energy and locking it into the body instead of letting it just get all dispersed and all over the room. If I gather back and anchor it in the body. And I speak about this in my book and teach you lots and lots and lots of practices on top of this to do to start experiencing yourself as this true energy being instead of just the bandwidth that is operating as the mind. So if you contract these muscles at the base of the pelvic bowl right now, as if you were stopping the stream, if you were going to the bathroom, you had to stop it, boom, you'd have to contract these muscles and then start belly breathing at the same time. Just contract those muscles and belly breathe. And it might seem kind of odd because you're contracting muscles and then you're trying to stretch the belly as you breathe in your belly, not in your upper lobes of your lungs. But as you do that, you create some resistance that allows the subconscious to feel you anchored in your body. so that you don't start searching for someone or something to tell you who you are. So if we can create this kind of resistance inside the body, just gently at the base of the spine, we don't have to create resistance in the outer world in order to have a sense of self, in order to have a sense of who we are. So it's a fabulous way to start gathering energy in a chalice that is the vessel that the body is, gathering this energy so that we can start to have a greater opportunity to even begin to perceive who we actually are. And when we do that, we begin to build our consciousness in a different way. The next thing that I would recommend that someone do is, let me see if I have a little picture here. I do. Okay, so this is the anchor point we're speaking about. This is the spine. Right, here's the whole person. We want to start breathing up and down a central channel here. And so you're going to take a breath from above your head, and you're going to breathe into your belly, and you're still locking down this lock right here, which is Mula Bandha. It's a root lock. It pulls you down into the body, and then you're going to exhale down into the earth. Then take an inhale up right to this belly, but keep that area contracted, and then exhale out the top of your head. And you're going to just breathe in and out, up and down through this central channel while you're constricting this area at the base of the spine with your musculature. Now you can also squeeze your heart in this area. Just squeeze your shoulder blades toward each other. That kind of gets you in the neighborhood, just as this little crash course that we're doing right here. And then you can also constrict your throat, that you would kind of be breathing like this, almost like a snore, or like if you were breathing like a scuba diver would sound, or ujjayi breathing, if someone is familiar with that, or Darth Vader breathing, if you're a Star Wars fan. And then if you roll your eyes, you get a little tension behind your eyes, and you can feel this whole central channel. That's the point of these quickened areas that we're working with, up and down the whole central channel of the body right here. Because if we can concentrate our energy into this channel, it starts to pick up enough power and momentum to pierce through the veils between our chakras and between our levels of consciousness, and pretty soon we're able to integrate and operate as a much more broader bandwidth. So we have to quicken the energy this way so that it has enough power to stretch this bandwidth that we're talking about, and allow us to operate in a much more expansive manner, but in a very concentrated manner at the same time.
Hmm. Beautiful. I mean, while I was following you, I really could sense that awareness is really coming deeper into the body. And in a way, I also felt then more expansive in a way. Yes. And what I also get when I listen to you is that this could maybe also help us to come out of a victim role where we think we are a victim of circumstances and of our life, and just really notice that actually we can create, we have the power to co-create. Yeah,
absolutely. We are made of creative energy, and we are here creating. Mm-hmm. Period. Every single thing that we are experiencing is our creation, and we have been taught to think very differently about it, and we get so much positive feedback in the perspective of being a victim. We commiserate with each other. We hug each other for the horrible times that we're going through. And we focus on, not to say that isn't a wonderful thing to do. Of course, it's needed when it's needed, but the whole purpose of this life is to wake up to the fact that we are absolutely creating 100% of our experience. Quantum science is proving it beyond the shadow of a doubt that we find what we're looking for. And when we're not consciously awake, we create things unconsciously, but the creation itself is to wake us up. So we might find ourselves in a situation where we're in a relationship where someone is abusive or abrasive, or we're not heard. We don't get our needs met. It's not a loving environment. And we may have to wake up and find our voice to create a better relationship inside of this. Or we may have to wake up to the fact that we don't have to stay in such circumstances while we're building our ability to create the life that we want. Maybe we have to remove ourselves from circumstances that are unkind or unhealthy. But all of it is nudging us toward waking up to our power to choose and our power to generate our life experience. Now, that's just on a real practical, fundamental level. But quantum science is showing us that it's true on every level of our lives, that if you're looking to see if a situation is this way or this way, the answer is yes. Right down to the tiniest particles of our material manifest world that is measurable, that when we're looking at quarks and neutrons and photons and protons and the tiniest particles that are measurable, that when we measure them to see if they are mass or if they are energy, which are two opposing realities, the answer is yes. When we're looking to see if it's a particle, it behaves as a particle. When we're looking to see if it's energy, it behaves like energy. So what they're basically saying is what we intend is what the matter does, that the energy arranges itself in accordance with what we're perceiving, either consciously or subconsciously. And so the whole idea is we have to wake up our subconscious and masterfully be conscious about our lives. That's why mindfulness has been so helpful. What I'm doing is taking mindfulness and dropping it into the body, because this is true for what we create in our external world, but it's also true for what we create in our internal world, which ultimately rolls out as a healthier environment where healing can happen inside of our physiology. And I'll also say that if we create something in the outer world and expect it to be sustainable, we have to be the vibrational match to its sustainability. Otherwise, it dissolves and disappears and slips right through our fingers, because the outer world is a reflection of our consciousness, and our body is also. So let me make that simple. If we can create a flow of energy through our body that is consistent and unwavering, we will project onto the movie screen a movie that is consistent and unwavering and in our favor. If we can create a reality in our inner world here, based upon our ability to choose and to generate and to have faith that we can continue to intend something, even if it hasn't materialized yet, we can continue to operate in such a fashion, it will materialize. But if it's not happening in your body, it won't happen in your outer world for very long, because your outer world is a reflection of the energy that you're emanating, that you're vibrating transmitting out into the world. So you attract like vibrations to the vibration that you are being. And so it's all about learning how to master it, and just using this little laboratory that we have is why we have it. We have this microcosmic view of the universe right here in this physical body. To create physical matter, we take infinite, the universal field of energy, and we start compressing it, and that's what physical matter is made of. Physical matter is just compressed energy. So our body is compressed energy, and it's the compressed energy of the unified field. So what that means is there's nothing that you don't have. You have all the resources that you possibly need to create what you want to create. But we live from the outside in. We have to start living from the inside out if we want to create something that is true and authentic and reflects our true path and allows us to not be the victim of the external world, because the external world is just feedback as to how you're loving yourself, how you're thinking about yourself, how you're feeling about yourself in this dimension. So the whole idea is, how do we feel better about ourselves faster? How do we own our true mastery? How do we step into our creatorship in a fashion that works for us and that's in our favor? Coming into the body, coming home to the self, allowing the mind and the body and the breath to become one, gives us an amazing start on exactly that.
Mm. And I just have two questions in mind. So just going a bit back with the exercises you just described, yes. I mean, I just assume that it would be of benefit if we would practice that as often as we can, just while we are doing and while we are in our day. Is it like that?
Always. If we are always operating in this central channel flow and as many times a day as one can remember to contract these muscles, Mula Bandha, squeeze the shoulder blades toward each other, roll the eyes and feel the tension behind the eyes so that you can start to feel this channel of energy that's running down through the core of your body and bring your awareness to that, you start to enhance all kinds of energies that were being left out of the mix when you were living in your head or dispersed out into the room. So breathing, you could attempt to breathe this way with these anchor points in place all day long, and you wouldn't be able to do it all day long, but if you make it your intention to do so, you have a much better chance of doing it enough to create a difference in your life. So you can't overdo it. And someone else might say, well, I was taught that I'm supposed to relax inside my body and drop my belly to the earth and to feel, you know, like I belong and feel grounded and relaxed in that way. And that's absolutely true in the long run. But initially, people have to learn how to get in their bodies. If I'm living in a dispersed state and I drop and relax, I'm still dispersed. I'm relaxed, but I'm dispersed. And so what I'm inviting people to do is to quicken and feel this sense of power and then relax that down into the earth. That's different. That's different than just being dispersed and trying to feel relaxed. You constantly have to reproduce your efforts until you come into the central channel. The basic foundational ray of light that we are is in this central channel. Our very ability to be here on this planet is relative to the central channel. I have had the wonderful honor of being with a few, more than just a few individuals that are leaving their body in making their transition. And I have witnessed their energy field leaving the body through this ray. It's a centralized ray of light that ascends out from the body in it returning into the unified field. And it's been said for thousands and tens of thousands of years documented that this, what's called referenced in the East as the Sushumna, this main channel of energy that runs right down through the central core of the body, is, you know, where the soulful self resides, so to speak. So I can't emphasize enough the importance for us to bring our energy back to our core. When I had this experience, and you can see this little ray here that comes right down through the whole picture is what I'm referencing. Now, when I had that awakening experience initially, the only way I could reproduce it was to figure out to come here. Now, I hadn't been taught to do that when that thing happened. It just happened, and then I had to figure out how to reproduce it. And so it took me a while to recall, but here are some of the interesting things that were happening in that moment. And this is relevant for everyone, because no matter if you ever have an experience like what I had, what I know is that for you to come into a masterful state of your own life, you have to claim it for yourself, no longer be a victim. I am the creator. I am doing this for me, period, right? And this was happening in my life. I was very stressed out. I was seeking meditation. I was for peace of mind. I didn't know any better. I just thought, well, maybe that's going to calm me down. And then I found myself inside this meditation community, trying to help the teacher because that's who I was. I was always helping everybody do everything better. I was always making everything enhanced that I participated in. I wanted everyone to succeed. I wanted everything to be great. It was just how I grew up doing this thing. So I was doing the same thing again. And then I realized I was going to these meditation retreats and running around helping everybody else have an amazing experience. And I wasn't allowing myself to do the same. And so I was over giving. I was over helping. And I was starting to wake up to that idea. So I decided, instead of running around in the background, helping everybody else, these 300 people that were sitting in this big ballroom having a lovely experience, instead of me running around, running errands for this teacher and trying to make it a really great experience for everybody, I just decided, no, I'm going to do this myself. So I went into this room and I sat down and I was claiming the energy for me for the first time, because I wasn't inclined to operate that way. And so then they were chanting sounds of the divine. They were running different tones through their body, sounds of God, names of God. It's what they were doing. So that made it an unusual experience for me, because I didn't understand Sanskrit. But the point is this: there are certain sounds that open up your body. There are certain sounds, because everything is energy, and energy is vibration, and vibrational frequency is sound, etc. So I was running these sounds through the body, which were opening it up, all the while becoming a greater vibrational match to a higher frequency, you know, version of who we are. I was claiming it for myself. I was breathing slower than normal because they were chanting a chant that you had to hold the notes really long. And so I was struggling to hold the tone that long, because I was used to breathing up in here really fast and you know, super performing, get everything done, high task master type of person. And here I was slowing down my breath, focusing on me, and toning vibrational frequencies that would allow my body to relax, but to open to a higher frequency. And so in that instant, boom, I lit up beyond the thinking mind. And here, if this will be helpful. The mind operates like this. It's just thinking, 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 thinking. And the truth of you is like this, slow moving, right? So we have this fast mind, and this is the true self, and they don't get along. So this is like a ceiling fan spinning so fast, you would never stick your finger through it, or it would cut it, you know, it would hurt you. So we just stay down here underneath the thinking mind. So what meditation does is it allows us to slow the mind down until we can get through there and experience ourselves higher than the mind. And that's what we were talking about, this expansive state that we experience. But the key is to come quicken into the body and anchor ourselves, and then start meditating or breathing in your belly really slowly, etc., because that will allow you to come out into this expanded state, but it won't disperse you out and make you too weak and airy and not able to be focused and functioning here in this life. So it seems elusive for so many people, and it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a difficult thing. We can awaken to ourselves beyond our thinking, analyzing, worrying, fear-based mind. We just have to learn some skills to do that. Mm. So Mula Bandha, anchoring at the tip of the spine, breathing up and down this central channel, slowing your breath way down, and intimately claiming a different life for yourself. Come into your body, come into your belly, come into your heart with your conscious concentration, tenderly, slowly, intensely, but intimately. Be present for yourself in your body. What will happen is the energies will start to fire together and shoot together and start to rush up and down through your body automatically, and begin a healing process that allows you to heal on the emotional level, to heal on the mental level, to heal on the physical level, and to reintegrate on the spiritual level who we really are, and to have a sense and a felt sensation of that. And that begins to settle the subconscious mind like nothing else. And that's when healing can begin.
Mm. And then in a way, kind of healing is like a side effect. We are not focused on the healing. It just happens because we create this inner attitude and atmosphere in a way.
Exactly. I say this dozens of times, that healing is a byproduct of revealing your magnificence. Once you discover your magnificence, your true soulful self, your true essential self, the real you, we've been living as a false self and we don't even know it. And once we begin to recognize the true self, we begin to heal as a byproduct. So when we start trying to heal a problem, we're focused on the problem. And all that happens is we generate more of the problem, which is a whole error in our health system, where we're shooting out diagnoses and now we're just doling out medications to cover up the symptoms of our issues. None of that has anything to do with healing, for the most part. And what we have to do is stop that runaway train and start to get in charge of ourselves, get in charge of our lives. And I've taken big measures to create responsible ways for people to begin that journey without having to be afraid of, you know, undoing something that they're dependent on at this point, whether it's a prescription drug and a regime that you're on or an addictive behavior that has gotten into place because of trying to compensate for the pain that we are in, all because we're living in a splatted, dispersed reality and trying to make do the best we can with it. And there is an effective way to go about doing that. And that's what I'm trying to teach people in my book. And the book is being translated in German, I'm very happy to say, and translated into 10 different languages just in the first 2 months that it's been out. It's called The Energy Codes, and it looks like this in the US and written in English. But I've also seen the Swedish version has a different cover on it, so I imagine that it will show up in different appearances around the world in the next several months as the publication is spreading around. But I do want you to know that it is a collection of tools that you can utilize in a step-by-step manner to pull yourself back, anchor yourself in the body, clear up your subconscious issues that have you locked into this believing box that I'm not enough, that it's going to be too hard, or I can't do this, or that I'm a victim of my circumstances. Those things are absolutely not true. But we have to rearrange our orientation of who we think we are in order for this vehicle to do what it's here to do. But we're built to transmute the illusion into reality, to transmute painful experiences into beautiful, loving experiences. We're built to take a difficult situation and turn it into something that empowers us.
Mm, I mean, the two words which pop up when I listen to you is really self-love and self-empowerment. Seems to be very central in what you share.
It's definitely a byproduct of what we're doing here. Yeah. We are supposed to have, we're made of love. If you take the unified field of energy, which is what we compress and create physical matter, on that journey of compressing, the moment you begin compressing it, the first vibrational frequency that gets generated is the vibrational frequency that we call love. So we're made of love. We just keep compressing it and until we generate this physical form that we're in. So it's literally impossible to not be loved because we're made of love, but we're attached to our mind, and our mind's job is to separate things and to make distinctions between things and to know the differences in things. And because we're attached to the mind, we think that's who we are. So we feel different from other. We feel like we don't belong. We feel isolated. It's because we're attached to the mind. And so what we have to do is peel ourselves off of the mind and sit back down on the truth of who we are, which is this soulful self that has a mind. And the mind is supposed to serve us, not control us. So it's like we have to trade places. And so I'm teaching people how to do that in the Energy Codes coursework. I'm going to be offering next fall an online version of that that will allow people all over the world to have access to it. All they have to do is let us know that they want to be plugged into that. If you live in another country and you can't make it to the U.S. to one of my live events, I'm also interested in traveling to Australia and into Europe. So if anyone knows of, you know, groups of people there that gather for that, I'm certainly open to making this work available to everyone everywhere.
Wonderful. And Dr. Su, I don't want to miss this opportunity to also ask you, because you mentioned we are creating our reality, what we look at, we know what is happening inside. And can you just address kind of the issue? Sometimes on a conscious level, we have, let's go, maybe we think we are valuable, we can have lots of money, but in subconsciously, there is another program running. And can you maybe talk a bit about this situation where we are kind of different messages on different levels in ourselves?
Certainly. I happen to have another poster for that. I just looked over here and saw. These are from courses that I teach online. So here is the conscious mind, and the subconscious runs the body. And basically, there are multiple layers of who you are. You are an energy being. This is actually who you are. And you're compressing yourself into a physical body. We think this is who we are. And we're seeking spirit. We're seeking this out here. But actually, this is who we are. We are the energy itself. And we're coming here into a body to have life here in this physical world. And so our job is to remain conscious about it all the way in. But we come in and some of it goes subconscious, because it's a lot to maintain awareness of all that all at once. And so we have this whole thing this whole part of us that is subconscious. But I want you to realize that billions of impulses bombard your system every millisecond. Billions of bits of information are coming from this field, and they report to your gut. They report to your gut, not to your brain. They report to your gut. So they report here, and then they rise up here to your consciousness. But here's what happens. We have too many stresses in the course of our lives, and the trap door between our conscious mind and our subconscious slams shut. It's like if you see a bear, that message comes in here and it gets shot back here to memory, and the body, you know, looks up what bear means and it says, run for your life. Okay. And then when the bear goes away, we see that the bear is gone. That information comes over here to the memory banks where we look it up. And we study what we do when a bear goes away, and it says, okay, coast is clear, relax and heal and be creative and have a happy life, right? Then another bear comes along and sends us over here. Now, in our lives, we have too many bears. We have emergency bears. We have imagined bears. We have past experience bears. We have chemical imbalance bears. We have, you name it. Okay. So we have all kinds of bears that overload the system so much. It throws us down into this emergency mode so much that it short circuits the system. It's just overwhelming, and a trap door slams shut. And the last message that got through was emergency mode. Now the trap door is slammed shut. We're stuck in emergency mode. Even if the bears go away, we're still caught up in this fight or flight response, no matter what we do. So what we have to do is get the trap door to open again, so that when we see that there are no bears, we see that it's okay to relax, we see that it's time to go to sleep at night, we see that we're on vacation, our body actually responds as if that's true. And so we now have these two worlds becoming one world, and that's when healing happens. Because if we're stuck in fight or flight 24 hours a day, the body is not healing. We're not healing in this perspective. And so if we're not healing, you know, we then think we're not capable of healing. We start reaching for medications or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we have to do anything and everything to open this trap door in every way that we possibly can. And meditation, the breath work that I teach in the Energy Codes coursework, is one of the fastest ways I know to open that trap door. I also teach hands-on treatments for people who want to treat other people and open this trap door in rapid fire. And that's the work that my father developed that is the only healthcare that I've ever had. And, you know, information on how to do that can be found at my website at drsuemorter.com as well. All of which is designed to get us operating in a healing, creative, genius fashion rather than operating in this survival, victimized, fight or flight way of being. It's just time for that to be done. And science is giving us far too much information for us to ignore the fact that we are certainly capable of transforming this life experience once and for all. So I'm trying to teach people how to do that for themselves rather than be dependent on the whole lifetime to teach us what we're here to learn. If you'll notice, someone in their 90s is basically saying, ah, I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to, you know, you think what you want to think of me. I'm going to do it my way. And it's because they've earned the right. So I'm inviting people to find a graceful way of doing that sooner rather than later so that we can live our lives in that empowered state.
Hmm. Thank you so much. I mean, for me, it was such a rich conversation. And I just want to give you the opportunity before we end to, if there is any last idea, any last sentences you haven't shared yet, just take the stage and...
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, the one thing that I want everyone to realize is that there is nothing broken. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing missing about you. There is nothing that you don't have. You just don't have access to it yet with your mind. So you're not aware of the amazing gifts that you already are and the wholeness that resides right inside of you. And so the fact that you're seeking enough to be on this summit is a great sign because it means that you know there's more. You know you're onto it. It's just a matter of landing inside yourself with these initial anchor points. And there are so many more tools that are available to you that I would love for you to be able to experience. And you can get to those tools by reading my book, The Energy Codes. You can also go to my website, drsuemorter.com/order the energy codes, and you will be able to get additional meditations and classes that I teach along with that. But inside the book, I also have all kinds of videos that you can go to, that links that you go to give you video demonstrations of everything that I'm teaching. I've created it in such a fashion that there's no way you can't learn how to do this. It's right here for you. So I know that we have a tendency to think there's something missing, there's something wrong, and we start seeking all kinds of things outside of us. And the answers are in here, but it isn't enough to just know that they're in there, because if that was enough, you'd have tapped them a long time ago. So I'm teaching you a step-by-step process of how to tap that eternal wisdom that you're made of, and it's all collected and concentrated right here inside your system. You're made of it. And as you learn to do that, and if you don't get this book and you don't pursue coursework with me, that, you know, I completely get it. It's not time for that for you. But if you will do this Mula Bandha that we're speaking about, this root lock at the base of your pelvic bowl and central channel breathe and come home to yourself in an intimate way while you're breathing, inch by inch by inch, all the way up and down your system, you're going to land in the places of your body where the body is trying to tell the mind that if you would build some circuits right here in this area, you would have a greater sense of self. You'd have more self-esteem. And here's what I mean. The next time you're in an upsetting situation, and this may be the most important point of our whole conversation today. The next time you're in an upsetting situation, instead of going into your head and trying to figure out, why did they say that? Why is this happening in my life? Just know they said it and it's happening in your life in your favor. It's trying to help you. And if you can't figure out how it's trying to help you, do this instead. Take your attention to your body and notice where there is a surge of energy. There's going to be a lump in your throat, a knot in your stomach, tightness in your chest. Something's going to be happening in your physical body in that moment. It's trying to tell you right here is where we don't have enough circuits to keep this flow flowing. And so it's hitting up against a wall or a gap. and it's causing this lump in your throat, knot in your chest, knot in your stomach or something, some kind of charge in your body. And if you squeeze it back and let it know you're onto it and that you're willing to build the circuits, you hug it back and you start breathing up and down the central channel while you're squeezing this area that got your attention in the middle of the upset. It might be in your gut, might be in your chest, in your stomach, in your throat. It doesn't matter where it is. You squeeze it back and start breathing up and down the central channel until you feel it start to relax. Because what you're doing is you're building circuitry right now to be able to manage situations like that in the future without them bowling you over, without them splatting you and dispersing you again. And you'll have a sense of self that allows you to start mastering your life instead of having to flee from it, run from it, fight back against it. None of that is what we're supposed to be doing. It only appears that we are when we don't have enough circuitry in place to perceive the soulful being that we truly, truly are. We're the master creating this life experience to wake ourselves up to the very fact that we are creator. So hopefully that will be helpful, and I'm happy to help you in whatever way I can.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sue. I mean, this for me was so inspiring, and I really value also a lot your beautiful, practical, simple, and yet powerful exercises which you just shared. And I will provide all the links to the book and to your website. And I hope you in the audience watching our conversation, you also got really touched by what you heard from Dr. Sue. And I guarantee you, because I practiced just a few of these exercises when I heard it, and I already in this moment, I could sense a difference, and practicing it really on a regular base, it makes very fast a huge difference. So thank you very much for taking your time and being part of the Conscious Evolution Summit, Dr. Sue.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I look forward to being of service in whatever way, and I hope I get to meet some of these fine people person to person someday. So blessings to you all. Mm-hmm.